Suk.
I'm Liza.
I'm Riz.
And this is the Little Sleep.
Much Reading Podcast.
And finally, from so little sleeping and so much reading, his brain dried up. And he went completely out of his mind.
It takes every cell in my body for me not to sing the intro after we play the intro.
I can't not do it. I can't. It's the demon in me. The demon in me wants me to
I want to sing the intro, but the demon. Sorry.
Slay. Hey, everyone.
Hey.
Hey. What are we doing today, Riz?
Chilling.
Chilling.
Today we're talking about cereals.
And we love books about cereal. Do you think there's ever actually been a book about cereal?
Yes.
You think?
Yes.
Okay.
There's probably at least one, like, a, you know how they have Cozy Mysteries that's like a pie series?
Yes.
They probably have a cereal one.
No, I bet you're so right. I actually have the need to look it up now. Because look up cereal cozy mystery. Do we think that's
Yeah.
a serial killer by Sybil Potts, cozy mystery, spelled CEREAL.
Love it.
Oh my God, there's another one. The Serial Killer. Oh, Serial Murders, a different one. Okay, well, answered. The question is answered. There's a lot of those foods and like food themed cozy mysteries. Like, that's kind of silly.
I like it.
This one I just saw says muffin but murder.
Nice. We like those. Those are delicious.
Have you ever actually tried to read a cozy mystery?
Not technically. Not unless you count Shady Hollow, which kind of isn't. I feel like it feels cozy because it's with animals.
Yeah, I wouldn't count that. I do want to read that though. It looked fun.
It was fun. Me and Nick read it together. It wasn't our favorite book that we read, but it was still good.
Not as good as Winterset Hollow.
No.
King. Yeah, I tried to read like a witchy cozy mystery once and it was so bad. I had to stop. But yeah, we're not actually talking about cereal, like delicious cereal.
No, I wish.
We're talking about cereal, like the bad kind.
Like the murder kind.
The murder. Here's another question for you. Why is it called serial killer? Like, what does that mean?
Because it's more. Doesn't it have something to do with the fact that it's more than one murder in a specific
Yeah, those are the
people?
parameters. So like serial, like you could be a serial anything. Like you could be like a serial something nice. But I feel like it has a negative connotation now, the word serial.
Kind of.
But like what's it, hold on. We're getting to the bottom of things.
It's like a serial number is just numbers in order, right?
Yeah. Okay, so consisting of, forming part of, or taking place in a series. Repeatedly committing the same offense. Okay, so that's a criminal kind. And then a story or a play appearing in regular installments. Yeah, like a periodical. So like it's in a series, because they don't count spree killings as, they don't count spree killings or mass killings as serial,
Right.
because it's not like a series of events. It's like one contained
All
event.
at once, yeah.
Okay. And the connotation of there being a pattern. Like, I feel like more often than not, in fact, maybe even every time, there's some kind of pattern. It's not usually just completely random.
Right.
Anyway, now that we're done with that, now that we know the meaning of the word, what did you read?
I read Along the River of Flesh
Ew.
by Christopher Triana.
And I read Notes on an Execution by Danya Kukovka.
How was it? Was it heavy?
It was really heavy. I loved it. I thought it was amazing, and like I knew I was probably gonna like it because I've only heard good things, and like everybody I personally know who's read it was like it was one of my favorite books I read, like whenever the year that they read it in or whatever. So I'm like, okay. I knew it was gonna be good, but yeah, it kind of like, I don't know if this is gonna make me sound insane, but I think other people will be with me with it, because we live in a world that's so saturated with things having to do with crime, whether it be fiction or true crime or like TV show and movies. But like, I'm not usually that impacted by the stories, if that makes any sense. Like, I'm like, oh, like that's so horrible that that happened, or that's so horrible that somebody would do that, or like da da da. But I feel like there's a point where you kind of become like desensitized to it in a way. But with this story, the way that Kafka wrote it and the choices she made just made it hit like really hard. And it was actually like, even though it was like a really good read, it was like it left you feeling kind of like really hollow and like bleak, kind of is the way I would describe it, like pretty depressing. But that's part of the reason why I liked it so much too, you know? Yeah. Didn't finish
Silly.
yours, but what does it, I guess, what was your main feeling with it? Like, were you, was it scary, the parts you did get through, or what?
Yeah, it's scary and I liked it and everything. I just think like here's the thing with Gone to See the River Man, he did a front story and a back story, and that's how he kind of jumped around and kept the story moving. Now listen, I'm gonna spoil this book. I'm gonna spoil Gone to See the River Man. So if you don't want to know nothing, skip ahead like a couple minutes, okay? So at the end of Gone to See the River Man, the main character, Lori, who you've been following the whole time, dies. She's obsessed with this serial killer, and he gives her a task that's gonna help him. So she goes to see the River Man, which is the task, and he gets out of jail, and she meets him, and he kills her. So now you have this second book where the character who you were following all throughout the first book is no longer there. And in the second book, it's about the people who are chasing him. And it is very like, it feels more like crime drama-y now. Detective fiction, I guess. But I'll also say I'm only like 60 or 70 pages in. And we're like jumping around with a couple different characters, like four different characters. And I feel like he has to do that because he writes in that way, you know, the same way that in the last book, he had to do the front story and the back story to keep the story moving. I think Stephen King writes like that too.
Right.
He jumps around to characters, and that's just the way that it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like when you have such a big jump like that from one book to the next book in the same world, I feel like it's a little bit harder to stay engaged and focused, you know, like you already lost the character who you were, I guess, kind of identifying with, like your main character who you're following along with. And now you have this other book where you're not even really getting to be identified with anyone because you're hopping around to so many people for so long. And that's not to say like it's great so far and I am liking it and everything. That's just one thing that I'm like, I feel like it's taking me so long to get through because I'm not yet like feeling attached to anyone. Also, like he doesn't really write characters that you like.
Right.
So that makes it a little bit even more difficult. But again, I do like it. I think it's fun and gory and spooky. I love the vibes, this like weird southern woods swamp gothic thing. I love it. And also I just love the idea that you can create your own serial killer, I guess. You know, there are certain things that Edmund Cox is his name. There are certain things that Edmund does that, yeah. So I like, you know, there are certain things that he has, I guess, like, what is it, like profiling the serial killer? He's got things like that, like his women of choice to kill is specifically Asian women, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't know if serial killers actually do that. Like, I thought a lot of serial killers don't cross race lines.
No, they don't. Usually they will be killing their own people, typically.
So I just thought that was interesting about him. But it's cool that this guy has like created his own spooky man. I also just feel like the end of Gone to See the River Man was so trippy and bizarre after being set in like the real world that I'm like waiting for that again. And there's so many people who are in the town right now that I'm like, at any minute it can go trippy. Because even though he's a bad guy, like I like the River Man. I think he's kind of cool. So those are my thoughts on the 70-ish pages that I've read.
Does it remind you at all of Elena's series? Just because I'm curious about like the swampy kind of gothic aspect slash serial killer aspect of it.
It's more like woodsy than swampy. It's like woods in the middle of nowhere with the river running through it. Everyone's been camping somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly what that's like, unfortunately. unfortunately. I had another question for you. Oh, I can't remember if this was what I was gonna ask or what, but like, I don't know about you, but like, my book, one of the main takeaways I had was being like, wow, men are literally the worst. Like, they're so bad. And wow, I can't believe this, but at the same time I can. Did you have that feeling with your book slash with do you have get that feeling when encountering serial killer media in general?
Yes, absolutely. Especially like you didn't really get a lot because one of the other things with Gone to See the River Man is that you got a lot of letters from Edmund, but now you're actually getting whole scenes in his head.
You know
Okay.
what I mean?
Yes. And also, like, even the one detective who's like hunting him is also not a good guy and doesn't care about women. So it's like,
Right.
how do you have a guy like that up against another man who doesn't care about women? Like, how am I supposed to trust that guy to protect me?
Right. I mean, and that probably happens all the time. You
Yeah.
know?
Yes.
Of course, it happens all the time. The inve male investigators leading the case don't actually care if the women live or die.
No, they just want the glory of it.
And that's the thing that stuck with me was the glory aspect of it, because I think one of the things that stuck with me at the end of this book was like this idea that after a serial killer exists, it's the serial killer everybody remembers, not the girls that he killed. And it's like the glory aspect of it. And like, they never think they're gonna get caught. They never think they're gonna get caught. And then when they do, it's like they just turn it into another way for them to be powerful in a
Yeah,
way.
it's just another game.
Exactly. And it's so upsetting. Before I jump into more on Notes on Execution, have you seen this TikTok trend going around? That's like, would you rather be stuck in the woods with a bear or with a man? And obviously, I pick bear. Anybody would pick bear. Any girl would pick bear.
I've been in the woods with bears before.
Yeah. And I've seen men repost it and be like, there's no way you'd rather be in the woods with a bear. Like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you're proving my exact point of why I would feel so much safer with the goddamn bear than literally any man.
Like, do I get to pick the man?
Right, because if you get to pick the man, then just pick your boyfriend or
Yeah, and
like,
I'm going on vacation with Nick. Then
or your
me and my
fucking
dad are
dad.
gonna go on a
Like,
walk.
right. Like, but it's not. It's the idea of you're not gonna know who that man is.
Right, a
Take
random
your
man?
chance.
No.
And I saw some quote about it. I wish I had saved it. But it was essentially this idea that, like, being killed by a bear is not as bad as the th things a man could do to you in the forest.
Yes.
And I'm
Yes.
like, it's just so true and it's so scary. And, like, men just be proving their own points.
Yes. And if you come out of that forest alive, traumatized for life.
No, literally.
At least I can be like the bear doesn't, like the
No.
bear is acting from what he knows. Like the bear's not doing it on purpose. The man, I'm like, he knows. I mean, maybe he doesn't look at me as a human. But he knows that I'm feeling everything he's doing to me.
Right. The bear does
Terrifying.
not think like that.
No, the bear is probably just hungry.
Right. I hate men. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. Anyway, yeah, so I just wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, I hate that.
In my book, also, like, the serial killer has, like, coerced a female security guard basically into falling in love with him. Isn't that, like, isn't the woman in the first Gone to See the River Man, like, in love with the serial killer? That shit's so fucked up, too.
Yeah.
Is he, like, the charming kind of serial killer? Interesting.
I think he's heavily based on BTK. I don't, he just, he, something about him reminds me of BTK. I don't know why that is, or maybe because BTK feels hillbillyish to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Or not Ed Gein. Is it Ed Gein? No, who's the other Ed? Who like cut off his mom's head? Come on.
I can't keep track of them. They're all crazy old white guys.
He reminds me of the big, huge guy who.
Oh. I can like picture him in my head.
Yeah. Kemper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a mix of BTK and Edmund Kemper. That's who he
Ew.
reminds me of. Yeah.
That's scary. Because at least this guy's supposed to be like kind of like a Ted Bundy. Like he's kind of like he's kind of handsome, but almost more in like a nerdy, like he seems harmless type of way.
Yeah, at least, like, I think that Ted Bundy was ugly.
Yeah.
I do think he had the social skills to be charming.
Yes, and that's what this guy has.
Yeah, no. Ed in the book, he talks like, you know how Manson just talked in like riddles and song lyrics?
Yeah.
That's what this guy does. He just like goes
Oh,
off on spurts about the Wizard of Oz.
brother, ew. And that is like the other thing that I keep focusing on is that like a lot of these serial killers think they're so smart. Like they think they're the greatest thing to ever happen on Earth. And that's kind of how the main character, Ansel, is in this book. He like thinks he's like a philosopher kind of. And like part of the like it's basically a countdown to his execution, and like he wants his like letters to be released to the world so he can like impart his like knowledge on the world, his life's work basically. And he just thinks he's like so much smarter than everybody else. And like I feel like that's a pattern you see a lot in serial killers, but you also just see it in a lot of dudes in general. Like it's something where you could see, like, obviously I'm not insinuating that any man could become a serial killer, but I am kind of insinuating that like a lot of them have the same traits as a serial killer, but will never actually end up killing anybody.
Yeah, and I think there's also something like violence is celebrated in men.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And I think that that has a lot to do with a lot of things, you know?
And there's a quote that also makes me think of that. This like the worst thing you can do to a woman is like it's something like assault her. The worst thing you can do to a man is laugh at him. And that's something I think about, unfortunately, all the time.
Me laughing at men all the time.
So literally, and but it's like that's why you have to be careful because
Yeah.
that can get that's what gets you killed, you know?
It's true.
And it's like we and you are always often laughing at men, but one of the things with Ansel in this book is like he gets especially angry by people like laughing at him or not taking him seriously, and it seems like specifically when it's like a woman laughing or not taking him seriously, and I'm like that's another such like a like these aren't tropes, like these aren't literary tropes or stereotypes, these are like real traits. Real nefarious traits that you see across serial killers, whether they be fictional or real, because it's true, you
Yeah.
know? Okay. Well, now that we're done with that, yeah, I'll get into this book then. Let me pull up my reading skill. So yeah, this book, it came out a few years ago, and I feel like it was really popular when it first came out, but it's remained like steadily popular, I feel like, since I don't think I want to say it came out in like what is it now, 2024? I want to say it came out in like 2022 or 2021. Let's see.
I feel like it was even sooner than that.
2022.
Oh, real, really?
But basically, it's the plot of the book is this guy, Ansel Packer, is counting, it's counting down to his execution, which at the start of the book is only 12 hours away. So it's like the morning of his execution day. And it alternates between the 12 hours before counting down to the minute of his execution, between that with his perspective, which is written in second person, which is quite cool, with the perspectives of three women who like essentially like survived being interlinked with him throughout their lives. So one is his mother Lavender, one is this girl named Safi who he was in foster care with, and then she later becomes a detective, and then one is Hazel, which is the wife of, which is the twin sister of his ex-wife. And Ansel, you get some of his backstory from himself, but like he's obviously an unreliable narrator, so you get a lot of it from these women. Beginning with when he was just a kid from his mom, and she had to like abandon them, and she like thought she was doing the right thing because their dad was super abusive. And she was like, they'll be better off getting put into a foster home. And like, that's honestly probably the case, like in this situation at least. Like it's not saying that like, oh, if his mom had been around, he wouldn't have become a serial killer. Like, no, he would have become a serial killer no matter what. Like, he was just like an evil person. And his whole bit is that he's like, what if I hadn't done, like, what if one choice impacts the entire rest of your life? And like, there's multiple universes, and there's a universe where I'm a good person. And in my head, I'm like, there isn't a universe where this guy's a good person. Like that's just how some people are. Like, they're fucking psycho. Anyway, so you get like his early life from his mom, and then like some of his childhood from Safi, and then some of his like teenage and adulthood from Hazel. But like, it also is very much so focused on these women and their lives, and then also how they were impacted by Ansel's actions. And yeah, that's basically the plot of the book. So for plot, I gave this book a 9. I thought it was really clever. I've never really seen another book, true crime, and this is not true crime, I've like crime fiction book quite like this one. I think it is a really good book, excellent book for this day and age, because it really does put the narrative back in the victim's hands rather than in the killer's hands, which I think was like Kafka's main point when writing this book. Like, I think that's probably what she was kind of setting out to do. But the plot was also like riveting, like not just because you really want to know like what exactly he did, because that was part of it, because that was kind of like left a mystery for a while, and you want to know like what he did, why he did it, and how he got away with it for so long. Because essentially there was like a big gap between some of his first killings and his last killing. And so like the whole book, you're like, what the heck happened? And like you're kind of trying to piece it together, and like the aspect of Safi being a detective also plays into the like readability of it, because she's kind of piece you're like piecing the narrative together along with her. But the women's individual stories are also just really, you kind of get like sucked into them. And that'll kind of connect me with my next two sections, which is language and style and form. And for language and style, I gave this book an 8. I thought it was really well done, and I thought she did an excellent job with like changing up her language based on each person she was writing as. And that plays into the form, because I always want to give authors a round of applause when they pull off multiple perspectives well, and it feels like four distinct people rather than one writer just trying to be four people. And I think she did that really well. I think it was a really cool choice to make Ansel's perspective in second person. I've never really seen anything quite like that. And that's kind of scary, because it puts you in the mind of the serial killer, because he's like, you think this, you do this, you feel this, and you're like, it's really actually quite disturbing. And the rest of it is in third person, and they each kind of have their own unique way of describing things or seeing the world, that I think she pulls off really well. Let me see if there's a cool, I marked a few maybe interesting places. I think this one may be good. Your mother is part of the theory you have not yet figured out. We are all bad and we are all good, and no one should be condemned to one or the other. But if good can be tainted with the bad that comes after, then where do you place it? How do you count it? How much is it really worth? In most of your memories, your mother is gone, and before she is gone, always she is leaving. The memory summons it. You try to focus on the physical, the familiarity, clanging metal doors, the smell of canned meat, dust, urine, greasy hair. You slide to the floor, press your spine into concrete. It comes anyway. In the pit of your subconscious, Baby Packer starts to wail. If you could play a soundtrack of your life, this noise would be the loudest constant, the screeching misery of an infant, the silence of your own helplessness, the fading of that shriek into a slow, pathetic whimper. And that's obviously Ansel's perspective. I think I had marked that just because it was like really kind of visceral. I think I really liked the line where he said, "In most of your memories, your mother is gone, and before she is gone, always she is leaving." I thought that was such an interesting way to phrase that. I also think it's interesting because, like, you find in books like this, and then also like real true crime cases, and also like Criminal Minds, that just a deep-seated hatred of women is at the root of so many serial killers' psychosis. Like, and I think for Ansel, that's true as well. And I don't want to spoil any of like the actual crimes he did, but like you can start to kind of gather what occurred pretty early on in the book. At first, I thought maybe every woman who was included had he were people he had killed, or people that had died as a result of him in a way, but they're actually people that survived him, which I think is really interesting. And like Safi ends up imagining lives and giving voices to the women he did actually kill too. I feel like Lavender has a good section that I really liked. Let me see if it is one. Oh yeah, here it is. Lavender did not know where she would go next. It didn't matter. She closed her eyes to the sun as the water took her knees, thighs, hips, ribs, then sucked in a lungful of air. Before she surrendered to the freezing tug, Lavender thought of her children. She had created two living beings. Eventually, there would be people. Lavender hoped that the mystery of their futures held exactly this: gritty sand, goosebumps arms, waves breaking over their freckled shoulders. She remembered the bedroom window in the farmhouse, that tease of a breeze. They had it now. If nothing else, Lavender had given them the gift of possibility. Her boys could touch it with their hands, the wide expanse of the world. Someday, Lavender hoped, her children would wade into the ocean. When they did, they would taste her, Lavender's love, in a mouthful of salt. Another really kind of just beautiful section, beautifully written section. But it also, I think, is a good way to show the difference between like how Kafka's writing when she's writing as Ansel and how she's writing when she's writing as one of the female characters. And just it plays into my idea. Like, I for a second thought that that was Lavender like drowning. And I was like, oh, this is going to be like every woman's perspective as it's counting down to his execution is like how he, his actions somehow led to their deaths. But that's why I think it's actually kind of liberating that it's women that survived him instead. For shelf worthiness, I gave this book an 8. Like I said, I loved it. I think it's a must read for a lot of different kinds of people. I think it would be interesting for people who do love crime fiction to read because it really is kind of unlike anything else that I feel like that's on the market. But it's also incredibly literary, and I feel like it's just something everybody kind of wants to pick up, should want to pick up. It's really cool. I think it's not often these days, sometimes, that you come across something where you're like, this is doing something that nobody else is doing. So I was like, I think it's kind of just a must read for that reason, and I'll definitely be hanging on to it is the type of thing I would like continue to recommend people over the years as well. For plot, I gave this a 9. Like I said, in the readability aspect of it, I thought this book was incredibly interesting despite the fact, if not because of the fact, that it doesn't just focus on the crime and the chase of the killer, which seems like it. I don't know if it maybe became an issue in the one you're reading or what, but this idea that like this sequel that you're reading has kind of turned into like a chase crime investigation almost. And this is very much not that. And I think that's why I'm also like inclined to say that it sets it apart from other crime fiction books. But yeah, the plot was great. There's so many moments where there's some moments where you're really creeped out. There's no moments where you're really grossed out. There's only one moment where you're really like grossed out because of something that happens. But like there's actually not vivid descriptions of any of the killings or even the bodies. But you are scared a lot of the time. And that's an interesting thing to experience when you're not reading gore or reading violence. You're not reading about violence, like 99% of the book, but you're still really scared and disturbed. And then the other main feeling you have with this book is just devastation. Like, and I don't know if it's particularly hit home for me because one of the characters, Hazel, is often talking about her sister. And if I have a sister and I have a sister, and maybe it's more impactful for people who like have a sister, or like maybe if you resonate with Lavender's character and you have children, this book would be particularly devastating to you. I don't know, but I think it would kind of hit anybody that read it, and specifically any woman or like not cis man, cis straight man that reads it. Because I think Kafka is just completely encapsulated this idea of like these killers are destroying lives, not only in the fact that they're actually killing people, but they're destroying lives in a satellite of people who surrounded the person they killed. And they don't care that they did it. Like, they don't have any remorse. Sometimes they don't can't even fully say why they did it. They just did it because they wanted to. And this idea that it's always the killer that gets the last word. Like, it's not the people that get killed. They never get. Who among us, me included, can remember any of Ted Bundy's victims' names? You don't. And the same goes for Dahmer with all the gay men he killed. And, a thousand other killers. It's like they're the ones that get everything from it. So I really like that Kafka was like, okay, no, I'm doing something different here and I'm calling attention to this. And that plays into my last bit, which is characterization, which I did I give it a 9 or an 8? D-d-d-d-d. 8.5. Which I already feel like I've essentially covered why the characterization is really good. Like you really sit with all four characters who are like essentially narrating, or you're in their perspective, whether it's the second person with Ansel or third person with the three women. But you get it's a chunky book, by the way. I finished it really quick, just because I was so intrigued, but like it's a thickums. So you do get to spend a lot of time with every character, and they really all have well-rounded stories and well-rounded personalities. The least easy to understand is Ansel, and I think that was on purpose. And it's like you're like, it's impossible to get you know how we're like to always talk about like you can understand the characters even if you don't relate to them, like I think it's impossible to even fully understand a killer. Like you almost can't put yourself in those a serial killer specifically, not just someone who like does and that's different. But like a psychotic or sociopathic, narcissistic man who is a killer, it's nearly impossible to understand their logic at times. And I think so Kafka did that on purpose. Like you're like sitting there and you're like, what the fuck? Like you're like, are you insane? And it's because he is insane. But the rest of the characters, yeah, you understand them, you relate to them, you feel them, and you feel their emotions and how they've been impacted, how their entire lives have basically been just turned upside down by one dude. You feel that, and I think she did an excellent job with the characterization in that sense. So yeah, really good book. I recommend everybody pick this one up. I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up in my top 10 of 2024. We'll see. I've been reading like a fiend, so who knows? But yeah, that's Notes on an Execution by Dania Kakavka.
Is there a significance for the fox?
Yes.
Oh, love it.
Very significant indeed.
I saw that little guy and I'm like, oh,
He right there.
he's just chilling.
And I think the US cover, because this is the European cover or UK cover, I think the US cover has like a locket on it and it's like
Okay.
a purple cover, which is also significant. But I'm glad they did the fox because that's more significant.
Yeah.
And that's a T.
That's the tea on that.
That's a tea about serial killers.
Ew, we hate.
We hate them. What's on for next week?
Next week is, what is it? Asian American Heritage.
Yay!
Yay.
I'm so excited.
What are you reading?
I'm reading Disorientation by Elaine Chao.
Noise. I don't know that one.
It's like you would, I don't have it right in front of me here, but you'll recognize it when you see it. It's like hot pink and it's like a bed with a school uniform on it.
Okay.
It was somewhat popular, I feel like, at my Barnes and Noble for a while there. It's like a satire. It's like a funny literary fiction, like where it's like funny but not haha funny.
Okay.
You know what
Yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And it takes place in grad school, and I'm in grad school.
Slay.
Just much like Bunny, I think. So we'll see what's going on there. What are you reading?
I think I'm gonna read Severance by Ling Ma. Did you read that?
No, but I've heard excellent things.
Me too. So that's why I was like, I should probably just give it a shot.
And that has a hot pink cover
It
too.
does. As soon as she said hot pink cover, I was like, oh my God, we're so matching.
We love pink books.
We love to be a matching.
And that's an apocalypse book, right?
I don't know.
I believe it is.
Is it? It said, when I looked it up, it said literary fiction, but then it said science fiction, and I couldn't tell if it just said science fiction because it was like, you know, sometimes it's like a little bit and they put it on there.
Yeah, no, it's
I didn't know if it was that.
post-apocalyptic.
Okay. Slay.
Oh, fun. An incurable infection slowly obliterates global civilization.
Someone at work told me to read it like a long time ago. I don't even remember who told me. So I was like, well, now's the time.
Here we go. And she's Chinese American, and I believe, yeah, Elaine Chao is Taiwanese American.
Slay.
Lay queens, we can't wait to read your books.
We're gonna eat them up.
We're gonna eat them up. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna have a great time. Follow us on TikTok if you're not following us already, because we've been being kind of funny, silly, goofy over there lately.
Yeah.
It's just LSMR podcast, and that's also our Instagram handle. So just follow us on everything. It would make us really happy.
Follow us for a fun time.
Exactly. And we'll see you next.
We love you. Boy. Where, where.
are you singing?